Thank you, Fred. Thank you very much, Fred Blair, our streamer and our access code and phone number generator. My name is James Sagerton. This is the, oh, I see I have the wrong date on that. What is today, the 24th?
Yes.
This is the January 24th, 2023 meeting of the Pacifica National Board's National Finance Committee. We believe we have a quorum. R. Paul, would you please take the roll?
Please answer up when you hear your name. Grace Aaron? Sharon Adams?
Here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Here.
Kamau Harris? Julie Hewitt?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James McFadden?
Here.
Sean Kelly McPherson?
I am here. I've suffered through all of that. I am here.
James Sagerton?
Here.
Susan Young?
Here.
Okay, that's eight. You have a quorum.
Very good. Thank you, R. Paul. Okay. One moment. Okay. That takes us to the agenda. I'm going to read the agenda before we consider. It is number one, convene meeting. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt agenda. Number four, minutes for 3 minutes. Number five, report from the executive director with Q&A if needed or available, 20 minutes. Six, review of the WBAI fiscal year 23 budget with general manager Berthold Reimers for 60 minutes. And a review, number seven, a review of the fiscal year 22 consolidated financials with Executive Director Stephanie Wells for 25 minutes, and that's if time permits. And we have, as number eight, set next meeting date, although we already have a next meeting date set. Is there any discussion?
R. Paul?
Go ahead.
Okay, I have a couple of amendments. One is to make the minutes 5 minutes. And the other is to add at the end
adjournment.
Adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, let's do them. I guess we can do them together. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, you can make that so, R. Paul.
Yep.
Is there any other discussion of the agenda? Hearing none. Is there any objection? Hearing none. We'll consider that adopted. And R. Paul, let me know when you're ready, because next is minutes, and I know you're making some adjustments
one
now.
1 second, and we'll be right there. Okay. Okay. All right. I move that we adopt, that we approve the minutes of the November 29th NFC meeting and the December 6th public NFC meeting.
Is there any discussion? Additions, subtractions, corrections? Hearing none, is there any objection? Hearing none, they're approved, subject as always to further amendment in the future as needed or requested. Okay, that takes us to number five, report from the executive director with Q&A if needed or available. 20 minutes, Stephanie, I know that you may not take that long. Hello?
No, never mind. I blew it. Forget it. Keep going.
Okay. No worries. So, Stephanie, the floor is yours, and I put a little extra time in there for the Q&A, which usually takes a little longer, but take as much time as you like.
Okay, thank you. Not an awful lot to report. I've been meeting, met for quite a few hours this morning or this afternoon, right before this meeting, actually, with the interim general manager at KPFK, and Markeisha was able to pull a, we started with KPFK, but she was able to pull a financial statement for the first 3 months for the station. We're just now in the process of, which we haven't been able to do because of the lack of access to Great Plains. So that was actually a nice accomplishment that we were able, that she was able to do. So we used that to pull, again, the first 3 months of revenue and expenses for the station. And we were reviewing that with Michael, and we're getting still some details on some of the breakdowns of revenue, because a lot of the revenue that was put in on the station side was just in one generic line. And so we're dividing that up now with sustaining donors, car donations, individual donors, major donors, that kind of thing. But with that then connected with the end of year consolidated or end of fiscal year consolidated financials, we are in the process of working on the budget for this upcoming year. So we hope we're going to be meeting once a week to try to get a lot of that detail done so we can get a working budget for KPFK. I'm sorry. So hopefully we'll be able to have that to present to the committee shortly. And then we'll be doing the same thing. I'll be meeting with the archives as well, working on that, because we do need to figure out a different way of generating, or an additional way of generating revenue for the archives, so they're not completely reliant upon central service payments. So I'll be working with them on that as well. Some people from WPFW have reached out to me to work with them as well with the budget, so we'll be doing that. I'm hope to try to get all of these kind of pumped out very quickly, and then we will turn right around within the next month and start working on the financials for fiscal year 24. The goal is to try to get those to get presented to the National Finance Committee by late August, early September, so we can start the fiscal year with the next fiscal year with approved budgets. Do you have any questions?
That would be good.
Yeah.
Stephanie, are you thinking about doing that with all the units? I know KPFK is close to you, and they've been difficult. You know, they've been our largest area of concern for some time, but that might be a good thing to kind of help bring our practices and our templates together in some kind of uniformity.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And the reason that we started with KPFK wasn't because of any sort of financial concerns, but because they don't have a business manager. Not that all of the stations have a business manager, but the whether it was, you know, Meta and the CFO, you know, the temporary CFO or the interim CFO when Julia was doing that, was working as their business manager. And Markeisha has assumed that role. And so because she has a more intimate involvement with those finances, and we're trying to get we're just trying to get a better grasp on the bills that are coming in or past due bills, we decided to just go ahead and start with KPFK. So that was the first one that, you know, the reasons why we pulled the financial statements or a financial spreadsheet for them for these first 3 months. But we will ultimately move into doing that with everyone, and then I want to be working with all of the general managers on their budgeting moving forward.
That's good. Have you been doing that so far?
I have with some of them, yes.
Budgets that we've done?
I did a little bit with KPFT, but not that much, and I haven't really with Berthold too much with WBAI. But we have reviewed and looked through those with any sort of, you know, with questions. But I personally have reviewed everybody's budget based upon the consolidated financials and have done basically kind of a rough draft of what I anticipate the budgeting would be moving forward. But for the stations that have already been, you know, approved, I'm just keeping it in my brain as to what we need to do as far as the revenue and expenses and where we can increase or where we can decrease and where some of the trouble spots are. But I am looking at everybody's budget and making projections out every couple of weeks.
Yeah, I know that Bertold has reported to me. I'm sorry to talk the time here, but I know that Bertold reported to me that he has been working closely with Markeisha, but he didn't mention working with you much, if at all. But that's
to
come.
Yeah, no, he reaches out quite a bit with all of their expenses and the monthly expenses. He works with Markeisha because the expenses and the revenue that he has is in a spreadsheet that, you know, obviously he sends to her, and then she has to input that into the system that we have. So as far as the day-to-day expenses, working with Markeisha, looking forward with the budgeting aspect, I will be a bit more involved with that.
Yeah, and I know you work very closely with Markeisha, of course, as well.
Correct.
Was that Sharon I heard?
Yes.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Okay, thanks, James. Hi, Stephanie. I heard that you said Markeisha is working on or has gotten the October, November, and December actual figures for KPFK for income and expenses. So that's really good. And I was just wondering if there's an estimate of when we'll have the actuals, you know, for the other stations. That's my first question. And I have another one after that.
There isn't an estimate because she was just able to get all those pulled this week. And the numbers looked fine. You know, they matched up. But right now we're needing to compare a lot of it to the bank statement and try to do a reconciliation of the bank statement for these first 3 months of the fiscal year based upon what was in what's on the spreadsheet. And as I said, the revenue all came in under one general ledger item of just listener support. None of it was broken down. So Michael was able to give to us a breakdown of car donations. So we're able to pull that out, but then we need to now, Terry is running a report from Allegiance, which will break down then the revenue. Hopefully he might not be running it from Allegiance. I take that back. I'm not too sure where he's running it from, but we need to have that revenue broken down to, you know, listener support, major donors, which is anybody over $1,000 per year, any sort of pledges, and then any sort of monthly sustainers. So as I said,
KPFK, but and the other stations, I'm wondering about the other stations also.
Once we get it mapped out in Great Plains, how this is working, because we just pretty much got access to Great Plains, then we'll be able to move on to the other stations.
I see. Okay. And then my second question was, so, you know, the KPFA property tax issue has been ongoing for years now. And I understand that there's an issue with a signature for the grant deed, which needs to be done. And there's a holdup with that. And I am checking in to see when that's going to happen.
The email that told me about that today, I just received 4 hours ago. So, and it's regarding following up the property tax exemption and the need for a revised grant deed. So what we're doing right now, since I just got that, is that we need to, I believe that people already at KPFA have reached out to attorneys regarding the grant deed issue. And I mean, I'm just reading the email. I skimmed it earlier. So apparently the attorneys for the law firm for nonprofits has been working on this with Mr. Schwartz since September. I was told by the assessor's office that after the recording of the grant deed, this can delay our exemption for another 4 to 6 months. But what we're looking at is the 4 to 6 month clock starts after the grant deed is recorded. So I have to go back and kind of look at any sort of chain of emails that was prior to this.
Well, I would like to just suggest I'm not so concerned about the prior chain of emails. I'm concerned about making sure that it happens now, because what it appears the general counsel has known about this since September and has sat on it since then. I mean, I don't know if that's the case. I don't actually care to follow up on whether that's the case. I just want to make sure that at this point it moves forward, because as you rightly pointed out, then it will still be another 4 to 6 months. So it's just
exactly.
another
well,
delay.
That's why I want to look
happening.
Through the emails to try to see what the timeline is and when this first came to my, when this first was brought up. As I said, the email that I got that stated urgent update nonprofit exemption obstacle I received at 2:08.
Okay.
So before
thank you.
I can sit here and So it is definitely on my radar and to do list. I just haven't had a chance to unpack everything that is in the chain of emails to figure out the timeline and what needs to be done.
All right, I appreciate that, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
R. Paul for staff.
R. Paul, I'm just going to ask you to hold on for 1 second. I'm getting a message from Bertold asking me to call him, please. Stephanie, would you mind just continuing with the back and forth here with Q&A while I call Bertold?
No problem. Yeah,
wonderful.
No problem.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay.
I don't have access to who has questions, so.
It was our Paul was asking for a question.
Okay.
I'm going to be on mute for a moment while I call Bertold.
Oh, okay. I have a question. One is KPFK, is that a GM or an IGM?
IGM.
IGM. And the property tax thing is about KPFA, not KPFK, right?
Correct.
Okay. That was... Those are all my questions. Thank you.
Well, I guess this is Sharon, as long as we're just waiting for Jane to come back. So I really like the idea, Stephanie, of, trying to have the financials done for fiscal year 24 or whatever it is coming up. Maybe this is a bit of a question for our Paul, just since we're waiting. But previously, we would have a timeline for the NFC where we would actually pass a timeline that we would send to the stations to try to get their budgets to the NFC for review. So maybe that's something we should all be thinking about.
Well, given that the NFC has made many timelines over the years and rarely follows them, we should do a timeline at some point soon. And, I was thinking we should have had a timeline already because I've had some positions on that. But, yeah, we should do that. And it used to be that around April we would start, cooking up the budgets, and we haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah,
this is James. I just want everyone to know I'm back now, and I don't know where the stack is. Is there a stack?
No.
Okay. So does anybody else want to chime in on that?
Oh, shoot.
Is that Sean? I'm hearing somebody, but they're not speaking. I just want to say, we did have some conversation about a timeline, and as our Paul just said, we've had many timelines in the past, and they come and they go, and basically the NFC is sometimes criticized for not passing budgets, but we don't create the budgets out of thin air. They come from management to the local finance committees, and then they go from there to the LSBs, and then they come to us. So we have to wait until we get them. But yes, I think we should go through the formality of having a timeline so that people have a guideline. And so, yeah, I agree we should do that, although it hasn't necessarily always mattered very much in the past, as our Paul stated. Anybody else want to talk? Go ahead, Arpal.
Arpal, for a second.
Go ahead.
Would people want me to once again send out a list of the timelines of the past, or do we not need that?
Yeah, that would be helpful. Sure, that's good.
All right, I'll do that.
Good. Yeah, we've been aiming at, you know, of course, trying to get budgets in before the beginning of the fiscal year. 2 years ago, we just barely got the last budget done. I don't even think we ever did a national office budget. We just got the last budget in on the last day of the fiscal year, which was kind of silly. But we've been getting a little better, but this year we seem to have slowed down because the budgets aren't arriving. But Stephanie, and I, obviously that's due in part at least to not having any TA with us anymore. But I see that Stephanie and Markeisha are going to try and step into that breach and see if they can hold it. So that's all good. Is there anything, any other questions on this, or shall we see if there's other questions for Stephanie? All right, any other questions for Stephanie on anything else?
This is Beth.
Go ahead, Beth.
Maybe we'll get to it if we get as far as the financials tonight, but in case we don't, I just wanted to ask, where do the aged payables stand right now? What's that total figure currently?
I do not have that off the top of my head, because we haven't been able to run a good aged payable report, which is now we're able to do that with the access to Great Plains. But I can pull up a file of our most recent, I'll pull up with just the most recent ones and get that to you in just a couple seconds as soon as I pull it up.
Okay. Thank you. And do you know when we might be able to expect a new current report on that? Especially
well,
on that, I think it's important that we know where we stand. What?
Oh, as I said, that's by being now able to have access to Great Plains, by being able to see what has been paid at the different units and being able to input that in, because there aren't – there's a lot of bank statements that have not been reconciled, and so we have to sort of go through those one by one, matching what's in any spreadsheet. So a lot of the payments that have been input at different areas have only been put in as like an end of month payment, or it's all put in at one time, and the names of the actual vendors aren't put in there. So what now that once Markeisha was able to run a report and was able to see that a lot of these expenses are only listed as EOMs, end of month, and not actually with vendor names, we need to go through at each of the divisions and cross-check and cross-reference copies of actual checks and payments made. Well, we don't have checks, but the payments made to what is put into the spreadsheet. So the spreadsheet that we were able to pull just most recently was close to 15 pages. So we need to be able to, we're going through those one by one to cross-reference the dollar amount to a record from each division of a payment that was made. So right now we're just slow and doing it at KPFK, and then we'll ultimately be able to pull that across and be able to get hopefully some assistance from the divisions to help do that cross-check.
Thank you for that. When do you anticipate being able to report a current figure for aged payables so that we know where we stand?
Maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We may be able to get the actual dollar amount, but not whom it's owed to.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks.
I have two questions okay. myself, Stephanie. How is, I guess, maybe I shouldn't ask. I was going to ask, how is Markeisha doing? But I probably shouldn't ask this in a public session. I hope she's doing okay and she's bearing up. I know, you know, there's a lot riding on her, and she's no doubt working very hard and carrying a heavy load. So maybe you could just give her my thanks, and I'm sure the thanks of the committee for what she's doing.
Yeah, she's doing an incredible job with a lot of people are contacting her on a regular basis. So there's a lot of, I don't want to call it outside noise, but there is a lot of, you know, questions being thrown at her on an hourly basis. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of that's from vendors and some of that's from inside Pacific, I'm sure.
Mr. Chair.
But, you know, we talk multiple times a day and go over spreadsheets together, and we're going to start working together on consolidating the bank, you know, the bank statements, and doing what I can to kind of relieve some of that work from her.
Great. And the other question I had was,
on the
I
stack.
Think I heard a voice and somebody coughing. Who was that?
Susan, on the stack.
Susan. Okay, I have one more question, then it'll be your turn, Susan. The other question I wanted to ask Stephanie is, are the consolidated financials that we have for 2022 and whatever you've got for this year, are they available to the GMs yet?
Yeah, those were handed out when it was still a draft form. I gave every GM, so they've had it for a while. They've had the, not the consolidated, they had the, I divided up the spreadsheet, so they had the consolidated year-end financials for their own division. And then they also had the front page, which is the consolidated financials for the entire foundation. So each of the divisions received their copy quite a long time ago.
Good. Very good. Go ahead, Susan.
Yes. I wanted to follow up a little bit on Stephanie's comment that Markeisha is getting a lot of calls. I remember the NIDA folks said that one of the reasons why they changed personnel managing our account was because of abusive communications from all over the system, from LSB members, from whatever. And that the most recent one, Julia, she said that there were abusive communications. She declined to bring them forward. This is a pattern in Pacifica that is frankly unacceptable and despicable. And I hope that if Markeisha is having communications that are in any way disruptive to her and inappropriate, that Stephanie, you bring that to the attention of the NFC and the PNB so that she has a clear pathway to do her work unimpeded by baloney.
One of the saving grace is that Markeisha has been a part of Pacifica for many, many years. So she is familiar with the voice that is in many emails and phone calls. So she's able to just kind of let it roll off of her back. And then if anything gets a little too much, then I'll make a phone call or respond to the emails on her behalf.
Okay, I think we are over time for this item. Is there anybody who has more questions? Hearing none, let me ask, Fred, do we have Bertold yet?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good. Hi, Bertold.
Yeah. Hey, hold on one quick second. Hold on.
Take your time. Nobody had any more questions for Stephanie, right? I mean, if we were in a quiet room somewhere, I'm sure we can keep Stephanie busy all night.
are we on the next item yet?
Okay, I'm here.
I'm ready for Bertold to come on. Yeah, okay, yeah. Bertold,
I'm sorry, I'm here.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I think we can move on to the next item then. And I hope everyone still has their budget from WBAI. So this is number six, review of the WBI FY23 budget with General Manager Bertol Ramers. Bertol, we put aside 60 minutes for this. That would take us actually past our time certain. So I think we'll probably spend the rest of the meeting on this. We left off with you having given us a general overview, and we had gotten into questions do you want to pick up with, why don't you pick up with, if you can, with just a general overview again for us, so you know we can get back into thinking about it.
Okay. So, hi, good evening, everyone.
Thank you for being with us.
Okay. Before I give an overview, I just wanted to qualify and quantify what Stephanie said. Stephanie actually did send us, the executive director, sent everybody the consolidated financial statement on December the 28th, 2022. So that was like almost a month ago at 1:36 p.m. Eastern time. So that's when we received it, plenty of time for us to review it. But let me clarify. It has up to September 30th, 2022. It doesn't have October, November, December. It doesn't make sense because obviously they don't have that yet. Not that I know of. If I'm wrong, someone can correct me. Okay, so let's go back forward. So WBI's budget is always based on the assumptions of how much money, what's the rate of fundraising we are doing. So last year we had assumed we were on $3,250 a day. And then we didn't reach that number, we're a lot lower. So I reduced this budget to $3,100 per day so that we can have a lower listener support. Therefore that brought us to $915,000 of listener support, gave us a $22,620 in corporate match. BI Buddies, $22,000, about $18,000 a month. Let me explain to you guys that BI Buddies, the $222,000, if you take that and you add it to the $915,000 listener support, plus at the bottom we have some, from PayPal, but I think I incorporate that in there. That is your listener support. So that it includes the BI Buddy.
And Bertol, could you just reiterate for everybody that BAI Buddy are sustaining members?
Yeah, the BI Buddy is a sustaining member. We came up with a gimmick, Be Our Buddy, support us. And then so, and I came up with that. People thought it was silly, and then it just caught on fire. It flows. People are easily pitching it, using a play of words, when they're pitching and successful. We're making $18,000 a month, every month, regularly for the past many years. So that's made us about $222,000 a year. Then we have community events. I did put at $2,717, but obviously that's going to change because we basically decided that because of the coronavirus, we're not going to raise any money. Then major donor, $45,000, and craft fair, other events, which is theater tickets, David Rottenberg, we're putting it at $6,000. This is about right. Car donation, we put at $2,167. It's more or less close to what they do. They give us. Sometimes it's higher, sometimes it's lower. And grant and bequest, we put it at $94,000. That was very low, but we are including in grants and bequests, including PSAs for New York City Department of Health, Department of Transportation, and then we did again get some of those in January. So it looks good for now that we're going to be generating $8,750 a month, taking that plus grants and other bequests that we might be receiving. I am not including New York City Council member discretionary fund that is whose application is due very soon. I'm glad to announce that thanks to the great work of a development director who was criticized heavily, she had documented all these things, and we had a folder of like over 50 different documents and forms that I was able to use with someone who's helping me to fill out this form. So I'm waiting right now for one last form to be notarized by author, and I'm still getting feedback from Stephanie, James Alderton. James gave me some feedback. I already incorporated it into the document, and I got to call him again to go over it to see if he had any other suggestions. And then I'm projecting $75,000. I mean, we have no idea. It could be zero because we haven't applied for it in, like, I don't know, 7 years because we didn't have a 990. And then when we did get the money, we couldn't cash it because we didn't have a 990 or audit. So that puts us at $1.4 million total revenue. Our expenses is about the same thing. Salaries, board expense, administrative expense, programming expense, development expense, and community event expense add up to $1.4 million. So the deficit at that point is $8,000. Then you add central service of $253,000. So then our deficit becomes $261,000. Hold on. Our total revenue adds up to $1.5 million. So the total expenses add up to $1.4 million. So income lost positive 108, minus 253 central service. We're at minus 144. And then if you add capital expenditures, you know, money put aside for computers, technical equipment, transmitter, fixing, antenna, $25,600. So our deficit is at $170,000. Now, I just want to say that our total revenue is $1.5 million compared to the consolidated budget of $1.4 million. So it's a difference of $117,000. You know, that's including, you know, public service announcement, theater tickets, and events. Public service announcement, we're projecting $115,000, which we had projected nothing. Theater tickets of David Rottenberg that have picked up because of no COVID. So that's giving us an additional $40,000. And then events, you know, we had projected no events, another $30,000. Okay. So when you're looking at costs and expenses, the total consolidated financial statement expenses is $1.3 million. And in WBI's budget is $1.4 million. So we are projecting about $83,000 more. You know, and I must say that the most of the differences are the PSA, theater tickets, and events between us and the consolidated budget, and the fact that I am assuming $3,100 a month, I mean a day of fundraising. Versus, you know, whatever is the 2022 consolidated budget. I understand that there are questions about specific line matching each other. That has always been the problem for 13 years. We used to work on it, but, you know, that project died, even though I've tried to compare my income statement to NETA's on a regular basis. And then trying to reconcile as much as possible, which is, and then once you did that, probably a whole month of reconciliation and adding our line items, they match more or less. The bottom line is, at the end, you know, the total numbers most likely match within like 3% differences. And some of that differences has to do with accruals that we don't do at WBAI. You know, we just have, you know, we don't have that in our budget. And then the consolidated financial for Markisha and the national office has accruals, which would increase the expenses on the WBAI side. I did send you a list of consultants at the end of the meeting or during the meeting, and I broke that down to you as far as what this meant. Let me zoom that because it's so small. And so for my consultants, I'm spending $5,800 a year for cleaning and a metro card for a volunteer who comes in almost every day, like at least 6 days a week, 8 hours to help process premiums. An older guy needed a metro card to get around. Then, as far as development is concerned, our webmaster, $30,000. We used to have a social media person who quit, as I said before, because she wasn't getting paid on time. So that's a $31,000 cut from that expense. Then you have your constant contact, and then all of these distribution of information to the public, to 40,000 people. Then between Kristen Blasdell, Tony Bates, and fundraising and all of that stuff, there was another $28,000 we spent to pay them to pitch for BAI. Some may argue this is something that could be cut, or that could be cut when we can figure out how to get enough producers trained and able to raise money like they do. They're the bloodline of our, you know, it's a skill. It takes time and year to learn and to master, and those two have it. Then we have another $17,000 that we have spent in covering our board apps when they go on vacation. They call sick, they go on vacation, they take time off. So we have basically four board apps, morning shift, afternoon shift, evening shift, 7 hours, 7 hours, 5 hours, and then Saturdays and Sundays, 12-hour shifts. So that's how we broke it down so that we could kind of manage that. And we have no one at night. So that was our way of trying to save money. We have pre-recorded, or we have people who know what how to manage the air to go on, and then to put pre-recorded shows after they finish from midnight to 5 in the morning. So all of this added together for $178,000 in consultants. And so the questions about consultant, what are they, or what is this? You know, a lot of those, for example, like webmaster, you know, and so forth, and should actually be, and then the board app, you know, so this, there's at least a good 40% or 50% of these expenses that should really, really be actually in salary, as salary people and stuff like that. You know, we just could not afford it, and then we started filling out the holes, and that's how that fell. And, of course, we have programming. We have a morning show host, $11,000, we cut that. And then we have a 7 a.m. Prime time morning drive. That's, you know, the all that adds up to about $45,000 a year for five people. So that is the budget. And I'm willing to take questions. I can tell you right now that any questions about reconciling specific lines one to another is cannot be answered. That it's going to have to be a deep dive between me and Markisha. I've asked Nella for this before, and then they said they were willing to do it, but they needed time, and they were all already overworking the hours and the money they were being paid. My budget is very detailed and have every specific item that we have identified way before my time. And then when I joined 13 years ago, that's the budget that we use. And it's very detailed, from delivery messengers to association periodical to outside service cleaning, interest expense, bank charges, postage, security expense. Security expense is zero, but, you know, we have put all of these in the budget as things that we could predict that could pop up. Interest income. I know there are some questions about that. Interest income, you know, I mean, every time we process, you know, every time we process credit cards or anything like that, credit card fees, 90%, 95% of our revenue comes from credit card processing through the website, to pitching online or calling the call center and recording the people's credit card and processing it. And then we have a company called Stripe that processes all the credit cards to high security things, and they charge us a fee. PayPal charges a fee also for everybody who gives us $10 on a regular basis. Like I have a bunch of buddies on PayPal also. You know, it's like, you know, it adds up to being $9.20 instead of $10. So we do have a lot of processing fees and fees. trying to address everything so that you guys have questions that might have been answered already. And if not, then you can follow up and let's drill down on some of these things.
Okay, is that the conclusion of your summary, Berto?
Yeah, I think I'm taking too much time already, so we can get down into the budget.
I think that was a good overview. I appreciated it. Why don't we open for questions and maybe say, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes of questions, and then I don't know, Berto, do you want to do some line by line looking at your budget at some point, or do you want
to
just go to questions?
Let's
go to questions and see.
Yeah,
I'm sure we'll get into some line by line examination when we go to the questions.
Yeah.
Why don't we take some questions? Who has a question for Berto?
Aaron for the staff.
R. Paul for stack.
McFadden to the stack.
Okay, we got three anymore. Why don't we start with those three? Sharon, go ahead.
Okay.
Sharon, I forgot to say something.
Just let me talk. Gosh, okay, I know you're going to try to cut me off because it's me. I also heard.
No,
I'm
not
going to. Listen,
Sharon, come to order. Come to order, Sharon, please. I'm not going to cut you off. I was simply going to ask that everyone maybe limit themselves to two or three questions so then we can go on and we'll come back. Everybody can come back again. Go ahead. Sorry, Sharon.
Just along you to that rule, too. Okay. These are my questions. I only have two or three. The first question I had was, Berthold, I never received an updated budget. So you had just said that there's $178,000 in consultants. I heard that in what you were just saying to us, but I never received a budget that showed the consultants with a figure of $178,000. So it's hard to even do a line-by-line comparison when we don't have apparently the updated budget. So that's my comment. And I guess I have my other question, I guess, is as far as the consultants go, I also heard you say that therefore you pay consultants to pitch, you pay consultants to send premiums, and you pay consultants as board ops to cover, people when they're gone. Under California law, it appears that those people should be properly classified as employees, even if they're part-time employees. It is not proper under California law to have people as consultants who are doing what is the main work of the business. And I heard you say that, you know, you can't afford employees, but I would put it to you that it's perhaps better to obey the law and stay within the law. And I think that we all should try to do that within Pacifica. I don't have any questions. Those are my comments.
What is the number? The third one you said, pitch premium. And what?
Yes, you as consultants, they should be employees. They should be classified as employees, not as consultants.
No.
That's how California law works.
My question is, you give three different categories. Right? You said pitch, premium, and.
I'm not sure. I don't do employment law, but if it's a job that is within
the main business of the corporation,
then they must be classified as employees. That's how it's analyzed. So for example, you can have a janitor come in as a consultant or whatever, an independent contractor, because that's not the business of the radio station, but pitching is clearly the business of the radio station, and therefore people that are doing pitching, in my opinion, should properly be classified as employees. So that's a problem within just the entire budget, and that's why there are so much, in my opinion, that's why you have so much figure, so many dollars under consultants, whereas they properly should be under employees.
Okay. That's fair. As far as the premium, you said premium, that is wrong. We have a volunteer that comes there almost every day. And then, he's retired. And I gave him a $127 Metro card for transportation so that for the month. So I don't think that's considered a consultant. That's actually really
well. You mentioned him as a consultant. That's where I got it. You said he was a consultant.
Yeah, I mean, I put it there because there's no other places to put that. You know, that's like a volunteer, but there's $127 I have to account for, so I have to put it somewhere. So that's basically what that was. Yeah, and for the board app, the way that came about is that, that was a. That was with the union, the union council at BAI that this came about. I don't remember the details, but it was like the unions wanted some specific things done, and then they said, okay, so this is what we're going to do. And then the first thing that we do is we offer our board app, our other board apps, we call the board apps that go on vacation, and I can tell you it's like pulling teeth. No one wants to watch any extra time because there are only four of them. We beg them. One of them is Sean Rosie, one of your PNB National Board. You know, I have to negotiate to ask them to cover another shift. So once that happens, we cannot find another board who is paid to cover the other shift, then we have to get other people to cover it. And then that's how that is. I don't know if you want to call that consultant or the banner, that means, when you have a situation, you have someone else that comes in and relieves you of your problem. But, that's basically it. The board app always asks to cover, the paid board app, to cover for the board app. And 95% of the time, they say no. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Sharon. I presume that's it for now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Arpal.
Yeah. Okay. Following on with this idea of board ops and vacation, you and I both know, Bertold, that certainly on Friday nights you're not covering vacation at all. So it's a blank for much of Friday nights. So you're not really covering some of this stuff. I mean, let me get right into that again. The consultants for covering for vacation just aren't happening. You're saying that the current board ops won't fill in for each other. Well, isn't there any other way to get somebody else to do that?
Well, somebody else turns out to be a consultant. You know, when I asked Catherine Davis to cover,
but you don't have any.
We have some.
My point being, you have a thing here where you're saying management, you know, some of this board op stuff here for consultants is, by the way, what line is that?
No, the consultant sheet that I sent you,
yeah,
is row, is from row 32 to row 35. If you have
32 to 35, and
uh-huh.
and you've got some dough in there, and you know, I don't know that you're spending that.
Okay, so let me address that very quickly, Paul. I mean, I guess I can say name as long as I don't put, give numbers. Kathleen Davis is someone who can do the board app, and then we beg her.
I don't know. We should mention people's names, Bertel.
Okay. All right. Well, then. Okay. So then.
Yeah, let's leave the names out, Bertel.
Okay,
please,
we're leaving the names out. So we do have people who come in and cover. You know, like when our Saturday and Sunday morning 12-hour shift person goes on vacation, he has a lot of vacation. It has to be covered. When the board app from Monday to Friday, 5 to noon, goes on vacation, has to be covered. I mean, it goes from $360 in January, you know, after all the December vacation, to up to $4,000 in December, it varies. So the average is $17,000. So basically, the average is $1,605. Per month, you know.
Okay, that doesn't
and
actually
then
answer.
You're right. I'm glad you mentioned that. We try to curtail that as much as possible, and then I apologize because sometimes that puts some stress on you trying to figure out what was covering the air, and then it's a problem. It's a money problem. It's a person problem. So it's an average of $94. 94 hours, 1,605 divided by about 17, 94 hours per month of people replacing people on vacation.
Okay. Now, I don't know what your you lost me at one part there, but you kept going, so there you go. But my point being... You're not actually paying this out, I think, are you? Because if you're saying that you can't get people to fill in for them, then you're not getting people to fill in for them. Also, you have to have allow people to have vacations. I personally know of people, and I think you do too, who have basically lost vacation time forever because they had to keep working because they can't take a vacation. And now one of them has taken a vacation, which he deserves, finally, and you can't fill in for him. So, I don't know. Some of the stuff with board op substitutes for vacation, it's a strange, marshy ground you're treading right there. But there's
okay.
more.
So, Paul, I don't know where you get that information, but
I think you know where I get that information.
No, hold on. Thank you for bringing this up. I pride myself
You're welcome.
In never having denied any board up, any vacation request, no matter how much stress it puts on management. Never, not once. Never denied it. Yep, the board apps may not want to take vacation or they might, whatever. But if a board op wants to go on vacation, they go on vacation. The morning, Monday to Friday morning, 5 to noon, take vacation regularly. And whatever has to be done, it has to be done to for them to be covered. So thank you for bringing that up. That's one thing I pride myself in. And then we almost broke that promise. It was difficult recently, but we were able to manage to get them their vacation when they requested it. But it is difficult, and I know it puts a stress on you as a producer who sometimes gets stressed because of a lack of understanding how this shift is going to get covered. And, we're trying to work on it.
It's not just me. It is. And let me say, over the years, this isn't a brand new issue. Over the years, there is pressure on some people to not go on vacation, which is why some people don't go on vacation for years at a time. I mean, you can say you don't know about it, but you got to know about it. The other issue.
Paul.
Yes.
Can you make this the last one on this round, and then we'll go
yes,
to somebody
that's
else?
What I'm going to do. The other, not the second, but the other, final. It doesn't really matter that much what California law says about stuff and the consultants. What does matter is federal law, and whether somebody's on a W-2 or a 1099 makes a difference. This also relates to New York state law. This is something that's been going on at BAI for decades. And it is an issue. And someday, I mean, you brought it up here publicly, but someday somebody somewhere is going to make an issue of this. We have a whole bunch of consultants who we have it from people who absolutely know about these things, consultants who should be W-2s, not 1099s. And, you know, we got to do something about that at some point. I know the W-2s end up costing more, but we could get slammed for some things, and I don't think you want to get slammed for that. So, yeah, it's much closer than California law. It's New York state and federal law that requires consultants to be a certain type and not people who are de facto employees. I'm done. Thank you.